The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You'll receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I start the show by invalidating the entire history and all previous success for a Power 5 conference. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, and that would cut a swath, would it not? I say I invalidate the entire history. No, not the entire history, just the entire successful history of the Pac-12. I am realizing now that the Pac-12 is made up of programs that would have never been prominent at the levels anywhere approaching where they got. Programs that would have never been prominent if not for communication and travel limitations in previous decades. And when you include the racial element of we're not going to recruit black kids. When you include that, literally the only reasons that the programs from far out west ever had the success at the levels that they did, and I do speak in past tense. UCLA, Southern Cal, Washington, you know everybody. Go back. Look at all the studs on those teams. All the Heisman winners. Every All-American. Every great team that was the result of great players. And as soon as the real choices of these kids could come calling on a regular basis, those players leaving became normal. Heck, I'll say it became expected. Bro, you're going to Cal or Oregon State or Stanford, or it doesn't matter. That was the start of the question. Dude, you're going to Cal? Do you know what the name, and it could have been any of them. Do you know what the final part of that was? You got an offer from LSU or Florida or Auburn or Ole Miss, or just like I said with the Pac-12, it doesn't matter, it could be any of them, or it doesn't matter, it could be any SEC school, even the one you'll almost certainly never win at, certainly not consistently, but you do get like $350,000 education from and can graduate with no student loan debt, can do the same thing at Stanford and Cal. I understand that. The SEC is different. I detailed this actually in the moment when this was, how far back do we DeLorean? Just before times got weird. If we can go back about, what is this, 9, 7, about, 19 months ago, was it? Was that right? 20 months ago, about signing day 2020, about 5 weeks before things got weird. It was the only signing day we have had in the last 19 months that was, quote, normal. We didn't have it last year. Early, late, now, it's still not normal. It's still weird. You still have, you can't come on campus unless you're not on our patch of grass. Can't come into our stadium unless you're either vaccinated or you got a recent negative test. Sorry. Can't do it. So it's still not normal. So let's go back to February and from the previous December, obviously, but February 2020 when signing day was mostly put to bed. I talked about it actually that day, signing day, when all the fax machines and the scans and all the letters of intent started rolling in. And I was looking at, I looked at Arizona, and it was the same thing. I looked at Colorado, I looked at Nevada. 2020 top-ranked football recruits in California. Number one player went to Alabama. Number two player went to Oregon. Number three player went to Clemson. Number four player went to Ohio State. Number five player went to Georgia. Next player went to Washington. Next player went to Georgia. Next player went to Washington. Next player went to Oklahoma State. Next player went to Ohio State. And then Michigan. Then Alabama. Then Michigan again. Folks, we talked about it that day. That California, because of its population, because of just sheer numbers, and the quality of football, it is like, I mean, Pennsylvania, that'll get you a lot of electoral votes, won't it? Michigan will get you a lot of electoral votes. They don't have the same numbers or even quality of high school players in those states. California is huge, and my gosh, the quarterbacks, and every other position, but quarterbacks for some reason. California is one of the big four. California, again, just by numbers, Florida is so hard to overtake. Texas, Georgia. There you go. There's the four. California is as good as any of them. As populous with elite players as any of them. And I talked about the fact that, well, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, guess what already happens? Well, they're already located in the South. As far as recruiting goes, California may as well be. So many of the top players, the players that SEC programs and ACC programs and Big Ten programs and, you know, programs east of Arizona, so many players that they want, and now they get them. It used to not be that way. Part of it was because, I don't know, a lot of schools in the SEC looked at Warren Moon and went, nah. How about as a flanker? So that was part of it. Part of it was you didn't take recruiting trips like this. You just didn't. You didn't have budgets like that. Nobody had money. Nobody made money. There's a reason the football coach at a place like LSU might also coach, I don't know, did McClendon coach baseball too? Because I think Shug Jordan coached baseball. Dan, look that up. I better be right. I think he coached baseball. Irk Russell did. I know that. I know Irk Russell did. So that's what you're dealing with. All the players out west, now that they finally have those options, what are they doing? They're coming east. And now there is one additional out-of-nowhere curveball that even I, and I only say that because I concentrate on – tell me I got it right, Dan.
You were right with it starting with a B. He was the head men's basketball coach.
That was it. Shug Jordan was the head basketball coach. Dan, was it because he was a precursor to John Wooden or because he could pick up an extra $5,300?
I would say that that was probably it. If I was guessing in 1933 to 42 and then again from 45 to 46, and then at Georgia – from 46 to 50.
I take it back then. I'm not kidding, folks. I bet he made $200 to coach the basketball team. So, no, you weren't flying in recruits from the West Coast. And by the way, in 1966, you wouldn't have taken O.J. Simpson anyway because he's black. So when you started getting serious about it, because the money started getting serious and you started flying in recruits, all right, things started to change. And again, the additional out-of-nowhere curveball that is now a factor, HBCUs are getting top recruits with legit, committable Power 5 offers. I submit Brajan Ross. He's a kid. Is a three-star defensive lineman, highly rated, out of Nevada. Three-star defensive lineman out of Nevada. Nobody ever has enough tackles. He was offered by the Arizona schools, by Colorado. He was offered by Florida. He was offered by Georgia, by LSU, by Tennessee, by Southern Cal. He signed with Jackson State. Folks, this is a thing again. It used to be a thing because, well, Doug Williams, he's black. We can't take him. Or he's a quarterback. We could take him, but not a quarterback. Come on, he's black. It's a thing again. And it started with Deion. I'll give Eddie George credit and a lot of the other programs as well in the HBCUs. Can I give you a fun fact for the day? There are 107 colleges in the United States that are identified by the U.S. Department of Education as historically black colleges and universities. There is one in California. Every other one, New Mexico, East. Folks, it's about to, I mean, a trove of players, not necessarily like three-star, four-star players like Deion is getting, but players who could go to Ole Miss, decide to go to Alcorn, players who could go to Florida State, decide to go to Bethune-Cookman. It's a thing again, and that's another curveball, even taking players from out west. All right, we're going to break, come back, continue on a Friday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
You know, I've always been one that advocated playing more SEC games in the regular season so that every player in every program would have the opportunity to play every team in the SEC.
That's not true. Chuck Oliver, this part's true. Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. What Nick Saban said. Actually, let me take that back. He says, I think his exact words were, I have always advocated for playing all the schools in the conference more often than we do. Something close to that. He may have advocated. He may have actually said those words. That's never been the real reason. I have a colleague of mine that I can say I did the first show we did together on the campus of Georgia Tech. It was a Saturday night, September of 2000. It might have been their first game or second game. They were hosting Florida State. Kid named Jermaine Crenshaw started that game. Shouldn't have happened. He got a rough deal. Colleague of mine, that night, first show we ever did 21 years ago, he griped about Florida's home schedule. They had, and I just went and looked. He had just wrapped up a 2-0 start to the season, Spurrier had, by a combined 95-19 versus Ball State and Middle Tennessee. And my colleague insisted programs were doing their most loyal fans dirty by putting so many of these on the schedule. Well, Nick Saban is speaking up again, and now he really wants more conference games. I will skip to the end of this. If it's good for him, that means it's bad for every other team that you may root for. And I have a relatively decent guess at the why this, and more importantly, why now. The why this? Why does he want more conference games? Well, because it makes it tougher to get through the conference slate and the overall season unscathed. Plus, it throws in another legit opponent, which kind of forgives the public in the public's mind a little bit if you don't necessarily go out and schedule Ohio State. Well, they are playing non-conference games now, so you don't need to start the season with Clemson. Okay. Yeah. My ninth, yeah, we got a ninth game this year. Yeah, it's Missouri. Oh, okay, well, I guess we can't play that week one game against, you know, whoever, Virginia Tech. So that's the first part. Along with that, he knows that I will always have better depth than whoever we're playing, literally whoever we're playing. I will always have better players and more of them. So that's the why. Why does he want something that will stress a roster far more than it is now? Because he knows his roster is built to withstand it. The why now? Because he just saw his team go 13-0, just cutting a path through a 10-game all-SEC slate. He looked around, he was like, I can handle this. What about you, Curb? What about you, Dan? What about you, Ed? Can y'all handle this? Because I just handled it. I went 10-0 in the SEC, like when we only played SEC games. He'll always have better players. He'll always have more of them. This gets them off the hook from having to schedule a monster, which they would beat anyway in week one. And he just saw his team actually excel over any previous team he coached against 10 SEC opponents. So he's always advocated. Yes, he's always said those words. It's never been true. Dan, how are you?
I'm very well. And as a matter of fact, when you said Dan there, I thought you were asking me if I could handle it, which I can't because I'm not coaching a football team. But if I did, I don't think that I would do very well against Nick Saban. That's another story. A guy who did do pretty well against Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn. And you can see it right now, but for those of you in radio land, you can't see it. I'm tipping my hat because I love what he just did here. Because the devil's advocate part of this, where he was on with Mike Bianchi down in Orlando and he was asked about the USC job. I have no interest in the USC job. I am very happy here at South Florida. Our future is bright. To which then the featured response that comes from that is, who mentioned you in the USC job? But I know what Gus is doing, and I appreciate the fact, and that is the hat tip, is that when he was at Auburn, he couldn't do things like this because if he tried to do any type of outward, you know, real promotion of the program, the immediate response from his own fan base would be, the hell do we care about that? Just beat Alabama. That's all we really want
Hush
from
up, you.
Exactly. Beat Alabama. Beat Georgia every once in a while. Get us to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Those last two parts he didn't do. That's why he's not there anymore. But he knows the target audience that he has there in Orlando. He knows that this is a program that wants to promote itself as being up there with the blue bloods of college football and to be mentioned as such. And he knows also as well that if he says something like this, it is going to get the three letters UCF on a website, which it did right here on Saturday Down South, or anywhere else throughout the internet. And that is more promotion of his program. And that is more being at the front of everyone's mind. I know that people could say, oh my gosh, UCF again, I'm so sick of them. And they think that it's gone without Danny White and Josh Heupel there, or I guess without Scott Frost at the time. But still, it's still being mentioned. He knows every chance he has to be able to get them out there. It is a win for their program. And I appreciate the fact that he is well enough in the presence of mind and also well enough to read the room to know, hey, that's how I play this here. I know that I'm not up for the USC job. It doesn't matter. What? It's just about promoting the program.
Wasn't it funny? I thought it was kind of funny. You know, I would like to start the show by announcing I will not date Jennifer Love Hewitt. That will not occur. Do you have the quote again? Can you give?
I am not interested in the USC job. I'm very happy here at South Carolina. We have a bright future.
Fantastic stuff there, man. Absolutely. It's just the kind of thing that when you realize all the previous situations you may have been in and how seriously everything was taken, I think it's awesome to take a little bit of a step back and sort of make a mockery of all that attention.
Huge college and pro football weekend ahead. Hi, I'm Dan Matthews, and let's get a look at some odds brought to you by BetUS. Let's start with Michigan State at number 24, Miami. Noon kick in South Florida. Hurricanes, 6-point favorite, minus 225 on the money line. Spartans are plus 185, over under 56.5. Number 3, Oklahoma, home for Nebraska. Sooners giving 22.5. They're minus 1,800 money line. Huskers plus 1,000, over under 62. Mississippi State on the road at Memphis. Bulldogs are just a 3-point favorite. Tigers are plus 145 on the money line, over under 64 and a hook. Number 22, Auburn at number 10, Penn State. Nittany Lions are a 5-point favorite. Penn State minus 190 on the money line. Auburn plus 165, over under 52.5. Number 1, Alabama in the swamp, taking on number 11, Florida. Tied, favored by 14 and a hook. Bama minus 650 on the money line. Gators plus 475, over under 60 points. In the NFL, Titans are out west, taking on the Seahawks. Seattle, home favorite at 6. Tennessee plus 225 on the money line. Seahawks minus 265, over under is 54. Sunday night, Chiefs at Ravens. Kansas City is a road favorite at 3.5. Chiefs are minus 190 money line. Ravens plus 165, over under is 55. Want to make some money? Do it very easily when you enter the following promo codes on betus.com. How about SST125? With this promo code, you get 125% of a sign-up bonus. For example, you deposit $100, you're getting an extra $125. How about cryptocurrency? SST200. With this promo code, that is 200% on a sign-up bonus for crypto deposits. For example, that crypto deposit, $100, you're getting $200 extra. This is all courtesy of BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 54 sticks, and we turn 7 years old next week, so we will put a candle on the cupcake, I promise you. The Auburn-Penn State game, so much intrigue for tomorrow night, and I know some folks, you know, you just look at final scores of games, or you just look at opponents' brand names, actually, and you dismiss everything that happens. There is some relevant information from Auburn's 2-0 start, despite it being 122-10. Technique is technique. That's the first thing, and they're playing good technique. Secondly is they did to their first two opponents, Akron and Alabama State, what I believe Clemson would have done, Bama would have done, Georgia would have done, et cetera. For Penn State, first of all, I'm going to tell you, Ball State's a little better than you think. And secondly, Wisconsin I know is better than most of us in the South think, and that Penn State defense is for real. The offense I still have some questions about, but they got a grown man quarterback, and that's always a great corner to fight out of. When it comes to the Nittany Lions, folks, if you want some information, Locked On Nittany, the podcast, this is the host, Kevin McGuire. Kevin, how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you coming on today. Let's walk through some of what I was saying there as we were bringing you on. 2-0 start for the season for Penn State. I've tried to tell people, I was like, Ball State's actually more than just a walkthrough. Let's start with the Penn State defense. How real is it what we've seen the first two games?
I think it's pretty real. I think going into the season, it was certainly going to be their biggest strength and the area of the field where you could feel most comfortable with. And really going with the secondary, I think that's where you wanted to take a look at seeing exactly where they were the deepest. So I think that that's probably going to be their strength in this one coming up. And I don't see any reason why they wouldn't live up to that hype.
If we look offensively, like I said, I think experience, like even bad experience, is good for a quarterback. And, you know, career starts, snaps, passes, et cetera. And he hit a couple of big ones against the Badgers even in week one. Tell everybody listening what Penn State has in Sean Clifford.
What they've got is a three-year starter who's, you know, obviously this is his third season, but he's been through his ups and downs. He has certainly been a player that you can rely on growing and maturing from those experiences. Remember, he got benched in the middle of last season after they got off to a terrible 0-5 start. But he came back pretty quickly and looked really comfortable in the second half of the season. And he hasn't made any mistakes this season. Obviously, the first half against Wisconsin was a grind for everybody. But I do think that one of the key things that I've been looking at is he didn't throw an interception. He didn't try to force a play that just wasn't there. And that was something he was doing last year. So maybe he's grown from that. Maybe he's learned. He's definitely more experienced, and maybe that's paying off.
If we – and I'm just looking forward – I'm looking forward. I'm looking ahead just to tomorrow night. But I can't help but every time I watched, you know, any Penn State this season, you know, first 2 weeks, and I watched all the Wisconsin game, all I can think about was, man, 2020, it must have been COVID, or it must have been the distractions, or it must have been the opt-outs, or literally there were like 10 different things you could have chosen off the field. And I'll even say there was a call against Indiana that might have changed the entire conference's season last year. It was just weird in 2020.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. Obviously, it was weird for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. But I think that if you look at Penn State's 2020 season and take a look at what they did the few years before that, that certainly was going against the grain of the kind of level that they've lived up to under James Franklin. And I'm still saying that I still kind of want to see something a little bit more to believe that this season is going to prove that last year was just a fluke as a down year. Mm-hmm. And I think a good performance against Auburn would certainly go a long way. I mean, getting a win on the road against Wisconsin, that's not easy. And I heard you say, you know, Ball State's not a team you should just take lightly. I mean, that's a pretty experienced team, and I think experience counts for something in college football. And they handled it really well. I thought they got off to a much faster start on offense, so that was encouraging. But I do want to see what they do against Auburn, and they've got some challenges ahead of them. I still think Indiana's going to be a tough matchup a couple weeks down the road. A road game at Iowa is never going to be easy, so there's still some hurdles there, but I feel more confident that they're able to clear them this season than I was last year.
Before I drill down a little bit more on tomorrow night, James Franklin, the USC thing, is this in the rear view in your opinion, or does it even just the questions resurface, or do you believe that he says, I've answered this, I got no interest?
Well, the funny thing about James Franklin is he hasn't exactly silenced it entirely. It would have been nice if he had come out and had a statement kind of like Mario Cristobal at Oregon, kind of declaring publicly his dedication to the job he's in. And that doesn't mean he's not, but he's certainly addressing it a little bit differently than he has in previous attempts where he's been thrown into this USC coaching mill. The thing is, you know, I do think that he's in a really good spot. But when it comes to coaches in college football, I'm never going to say anything is off the table. I think that very few opportunities like a USC coaching job come along very often. So it's hard not to at least engage in the conversation, I think, if you're James Franklin. So either way, he's probably going to get paid out of this one way or the other. But I think as far as Saturday is concerned, it has to be in the rearview mirror. That's easier said to be done for the players, for the coaches. For the fans, it might be a little bit different. I'm certainly there's going to be some media storylines all day long. Yeah. About this, I know it, I get that's just the way it goes. But I think as far as the team's concerned, I don't know if it's going to be much of a distraction.
Wrapping up with Kevin McGuire, get him on Twitter, at Kevin on CFB. I know it's him. He has a blue check. Noah Kane is a name that a lot of football fans, because recruiting, will know from in the South. But there's two running backs there, Lee and Kane tomorrow night. How do you expect it to be divvied up?
It'll probably be the majority going to Noah Kane. As long as he's healthy, he's the main back. They do have a good stable of running backs, and they feel pretty comfortable with that. But, you know, no Kane's going to be the guy. He's been banged up. Unfortunately, his season got cut short real fast last year, and that was devastating for them. But I do think that he's going to be the main guy. He's going to take the majority of the carries. You know, maybe 65%, 70%, maybe as much as that. But you know, he's going to have to get arrested at some point. And the good news is for Penn State, they've got some guys that they can handle.
What do you think the overall approach will be tomorrow night from Franklin, the offensive staff, against this Auburn defense? I mean, how do they come out swinging, or is it, hang on, it's a Saturday night, it's a four-quarter game? How do you expect the approach to be?
I think this is going to be a little bit of a slow starting game for both teams. I think it's going to take a while for the offenses on either side to really get into any kind of a rhythm. There's going to be a lot of feeling out the opposing defenses because I think these defenses are going to be pretty good on both sides here. So I would not expect a whole lot of fireworks early on. I do think, though, that, you know, if you're Penn State, you know, you may go with a couple methodic drives, but at some point you got to take a shot down deep to Jahan Dotson. They probably do that 2 to 3 times a game. As long as they connect on one, they'll be happy. If they connect on two, they'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
And that's not out of the question.
Going to be the jam-packed, all-white experience night game thing that looks so cool on TV tomorrow?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be fun. I'm actually kind of curious to see how many Auburn fans are going to be up there. I'm sure there's going to be a good number of them kind of sprinkling some orange in that whiteout. But, you know, you just said it. I mean, the whiteout on TV, it's just beautiful to see. And it's going to be great to see it back. Obviously, they didn't have one of these last year with no fans in the stands in the Big Ten. So it's going to be a joyous occasion. We'll see if the game can live up to the hype.
Kevin, good stuff, brother. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kevin McGuire again, Locked On Nittany. We're going to take a break, come back, continue to preview tomorrow's big games. And that's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
You talk about a full slate of intriguing games. I even liked Louisiana and Ohio last night. But if you talk about a full slate of intriguing games tomorrow, so many dot in the schedule. But I say, in college football, there's always a main event. There's always one that you got to watch. Even if you live in Anchorage or Key West, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to watch this. And the main event happens tomorrow in the Swamp in Gainesville. And Florida can win this game, folks. They absolutely can. I don't believe they will. I think it's just too much. But they're talented enough. And Dan Mullen, it's been a swing and miss for his career against Nick. I know that. But if you're going to have a coach that gives your players the best chance possible, that puts them in position to be their personal 100%, whatever that is, it's Dan Mullen. There are a lot of reasons to like Florida, but I like them. A lot of those are based around liking Florida as the season evolves. And week three, not much has evolved yet. I want to welcome on now a guy that we talk to regularly and just a real good source when it comes to UF. On the football field from Gators territory, it is Nick De La Torre. Nick, how are you today, man?
Doing well. Excited for tomorrow. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's the hamstring? Not yours.
Yeah, it's a hamstring watch all week. Mine's probably not good. I definitely couldn't run. I think Anthony's going to try. Richardson's going to try to play. It's been a little bit limited in practice, but I think that's more just so you don't re-aggravate it. But it'll be interesting because does he re-injure it? Is he limited on Saturday, or is he going to be okay? So I think it'll remain to be seen how much he can be involved in the game plan.
I don't discount anything you do on a field. I mean, the other team, even if it's – I mean, it could be any level of team. You still get scholarships, and your guys can still make plays. So I'm not going to discount the competition in weeks one and two. Did you have any idea that Anthony Richardson could do that on a real-life field, not a field in Gainesville in April, but a real-life field in football season against an opponent? Because I didn't.
I mean, he's – very impressive. We didn't see a ton of him his freshman year, so no, I didn't know that. Didn't know he'd be running 20 miles an hour down the field. But he's certainly fun to watch. He might be the answer to what happened if Cam Newton ever stole a laptop. I mean, he is that kind of special.
What do you think? Yeah, and I'm just going to assume for the rest of our conversation that the hamstring isn't going to limit him being on the field. How do you think the split is going to go tomorrow? What I'm asking specifically is I'm always a fan of the more experienced guy. If he's the starter, you let him roll as long as he's rolling. And the first 2 weeks, that hadn't been the case. It's been, what, the third or fourth possession that Anthony Richardson has gone in?
Yeah, each game they've kind of had a game plan going in. Anthony's gotten the third series. And then after that, it kind of just with the ebbs and flows of the game, they get him in. Ambry hasn't had a great start. Mm-hmm. The interceptions are a problem. You're not going to beat Alabama with interceptions. I still think he can turn it around. It's going to be, you know, obviously a home environment for him. If Anthony is limited and you have to put it on Emory, you're going to have to be able to run the ball, but you have to at least make Alabama you know, respect the pass, because if they can load the box 8-9 guys, Florida's not going to be able to run it. So it's going to be on Emery for the most part, and he's going to have to throw it.
A couple of more minutes. Nick De La Torre from Gators Territory. Looking at the Florida ground game so far, there are a lot of really intriguing options, and they have just ripped off yards left and right. I want to, how real is this? How transferable is this to what we're going to see tomorrow afternoon? And how do you expect the running back usage to go? Because there's only one football, and there are some guys who kind of do different things than maybe some other guys in that running back room.
Yeah, a lot of options. Obviously, both quarterbacks can run it as well. Damian Pierce, I think, is the go-to guy. And something that we haven't seen yet, Malik Davis is a guy that can really catch the ball. And we haven't really seen the running back to get involved in the passing game. I mean, if you think back to Georgia a year ago with the wheel route. So maybe there's some stuff to get the running backs involved in the passing game. But those are the two right there, Damian and Malik. They're going to kind of lead the way.
If you look a little further down the two deep into the 3, 4, and 5 deep, are you expecting any, and this could be tomorrow, but then as the season goes along, DeMarcus Bowman and Lorenzo Lingard, the two transfers, I believe they were both 5 stars coming out of high school at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Lingard's come all the way back from the knee. Are they still working their way onto whatever their role is going to be?
Yeah, it's like you said, there's only one ball, and Florida's got 5 really talented running backs. So Lingard, I think, is low man on the totem pole right now. Bowman's got in, but really, you know, Naquan Wright, Malik Davis, and Damian Pierce are really taking the lion's share. Florida does rotate a lot, but we haven't seen a ton of those two transfers.
If we're looking at Jacob Copeland, I mean, he was the guy that before the season everyone kind of pointed to, all right, it's going to be his year, and they're going to use him in a lot of different ways. Tomorrow against Alabama, I mean, it's going to be the toughest matchup that he'll see all season, and part of it is because of the pass rush as well. Just give me a flyover of how you see tomorrow afternoon unfolding for Copeland.
I mean, coming off the best game of his career last week, he was a guy that, you know, coming into this season, it was kind of like, I don't want to say put up or shut up, but you were waiting for him to have
last go around
to realize his potential. He had drop issues in the past. I think that's kind of corrected itself. He's fixed that. I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think he's, you know, obviously coming off a great game last week, but I just don't know how effective Florida will be passing the ball. Yeah, I don't have a great feeling about Florida tomorrow.
I want to switch it over. Last thing I want to ask you about, and I saw this, I guess it was yesterday, I'm trying to remember, and I was like, we're going to talk to Nick about this. Ventrell Miller, my goodness, what happened?
He had a biceps tendon tear, had to have surgery, so he's going to be out. That's a big loss for Florida, not only your starting middle linebacker, but a senior veteran voice, almost like a coach on the field. So that's a big loss for Florida. They've got a couple guys there. You know, Amari Burney, he's an older guy.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Moon is having an incredible season. So they're going to miss him, but, you know, Florida's got some depth there.
You know, Jeremiah Moon is funny. I was like, if he can ever play to his physique, you know, if the production ever equals the aesthetics, I was like, he could be an all-SEC player. And you're right, the first couple of weeks, I mean, he's been flying around like there's 3 of him. Nick, I appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for making some time for us.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right, Nick De La Torre again from Gators Territory. And Jeremiah Moon is a kid that, again, you talk about physically impressive, just a really, really good-looking ball player. And I always say that's my measuring stick, that I need the production to equal the talent, and boy, he has it. And do you know what one of his skills is that I think it's a clear advantage over any player he'll encounter on the field, almost any player he'll encounter on the field this year? He's playing a 6th season. You are a grown man. You are running around, and I've said before that if he's a 6-year player, that means there's a whole lot of first-year players and second-year players. So you're talking maybe as much as 5 years difference in age. At the NFL level, a 29-year-old and a 24-year-old, a 30-year-old and a 25-year-old, 31, a 20, you're talking two grown men. 23-year-old and an 18-year-old. Physical mismatch, and I almost don't care who the 18-year-old is. Travion, oh my God, Williams or Henderson? Henderson for Ohio State. He was the kid that I was talking about. I think it was, oh man, I don't want to assign this incorrectly. I really don't. I think it was Bud Elliott, I think, who said that he could have started at Ohio State his high school senior year. Most times that is just to drive home a point with Henderson. I don't think it was. Jeremiah Moon is one of those kids that when you look at him physically, it's impressive, but then you realize it's not just a kid who, and I'll be honest, there are a lot of I coached a kid one time, and I'm going to say his name on the air, but he showed up as a freshman, and I thought he was like a senior move-in, and he was 14 and playing on the freshman team, and I was like, well, my goodness, dad a weightlifter, or you join LA Fitness? Well, he's like, oh, I've never worked out. Excuse me? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of like this. Well, good for you. See, that is just the aesthetics. If you've been on campus at the University of Florida for now your sixth season, I say this all the time, folks, you've been running and lifting in an SEC program, an elite program like that. That isn't just, you know, mom and dad were in pretty good shape. Who is it? Ed McCaffrey, the former NFL receiver, his wife was a scholarship athlete. I don't know, volleyball, basketball, something. And he's laughed about it. He was like, yeah, we're stocking NCAA with some pretty good athletes, aren't we? That can be part of it. And that gets you until you're probably 16, 17. As long as it's, I'm going to say, just Friday nights. Yeah, whatever mom and dad did in college, that can help you. On almost any Friday night, that can rule the day. Saturday, starts getting a little bit more difficult for that to be the case. And it just doesn't happen on Sundays. I mean, like a guy like Julio Jones, he didn't look like he eventually did, but he was pretty dang close as an 18-year-old, as a true freshman at Alabama, a Friday night guy. Julio is like one of the few examples. Adrian Peterson is one of the few examples. But again, you're still talking at its core an 18-year-old with just amazing DNA. And again, whether it's Julio down in Foley or the McCaffrey kids, I think there were three of them that played college football or still are. You know, that can be a head start that gets you the pretty date for homecoming on Friday night and, you know, prom when you're still playing football on Friday nights. It doesn't get you very far on Saturdays. That's when work has to take over, and that's when being a grown man separates. That's why he's 6'2", 245, and so is the kid he's going against. You ever heard that, grown man strong or old man strong? Like Clint Eastwood. I was wrong about it. Do you know how old he is? He's in his 90s. And I heard that in his new movie, he takes a swing at somebody. Now, it's a slower swing, I have to imagine. But Clint Eastwood, what is he? He's old man strong. You just, like Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, a buddy of mine was actually interviewing him. I heard the clip. He said, the question was, if you were playing today, and the point was, like, everybody's velocity is up so much, even guys who don't throw fastballs, their velocity's up. If he said, Nolan, if you played today, what do you think your velocity would be? He said, oh, probably low 80s. He's like, well, you wouldn't be like everybody else. He's like, oh, I thought you meant literally if I went out today. He's like 70, and he said, probably low 80s. He said, no, if I was young and played today, I'd be 101.
Yeah, Roger Clemens will pitch in the Texas alumni game every year. He's about 83, 84.
Yeah, that's because I said Nolan Ryan. He's like, oh, I thought you meant like literally as a 68-year-old. He's like, oh, no, I'd still go 101. So anyway, that's just the big difference, and that's why Moon can have that sort of, you know, just blast-off season into the NFL, I hope.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.